Hello and welcome to the Learning to Mum podcast, a podcast dedicated to talking all things being a mum and all things being a female. The latter I feel much more qualified to talk about. I'm passionate about the honest accounts, the raw reality, and all the highs and lows that come with motherhood. So welcome to this podcast hosted by me, Kelly Beaumont. I'm so grateful to have you listening to me today. Enjoy. Hi everybody, welcome to season 2, episode 5. Long time no speak. I definitely didn't anticipate the gap between the last episode and this one to be quite so long. So I apologise for anybody who has kind of been waiting to have a bit of an update as to what's been happening and all that good stuff. So I am recording this on Thursday. The podcast will go out tomorrow morning. So this is very much a kind of real-time update of what has been happening. And I'm going to brand it as our kind of 12-month update. Ophelia turns 1 on Tuesday next week. So it doesn't feel too premature to be talking about this in terms of her 1 year, 12-month update. And I'm just going to kind of talk generally as to kind of what's been happening over the last few months. So between the 10-month update and where we're at now. So if you hear any noises, I am trying to clean the window as I'm speaking to you, clean the windows, be as productive as possible, because as you'll hear as I'm going through this, it is quite tricky to find time to be productive and do the things that you may just want to get done. So where are we? What has been happening? So I can't remember the last time I updated you all whether I had spoken about the sleep problems that we were having. I'm pretty sure that I did, because it's been such a huge part of our lives really for the past couple of months, and that certainly proceeded for the time that followed. So I would say we have had broken, inconsistent sleep for around 7 weeks. And it's been an amalgamation of, or at least I think it's been an amalgamation of the kind of regression, although as I think we spoke about last time, people have different views on whether it should be branded a recession or not. Not a recession, bloody hell. Regression. Ah, as you can see, sleep is far from present currently. So yeah, we're getting there, we're getting better, which is why I'm giving this update now. But yeah, I'd say that it's probably been a couple of things. So going through that developmental stage, and it certainly feels like a lot has been happening developmentally. She is spending a lot of time on her feet. She's not standing independently, and she's certainly not walking independently, but she is using the walker every single day. And she's really got on pace, you know, got pace with it. She can move super quickly and get to where she wants to get to using the walker. And nursery have been acknowledging that she has been doing that and re-engaged by it and just generally showing some really good development. So that's great, because it reassures you that kind of everything that you're experiencing and everything that you're going through is for a reason, and everything is developing well. And then further to that, I think maybe we were coming to the end of the regression. And then she fell really quite ill. So she had her first send home from nursery. She was sent home with a temperature of, I think, about 39. I got home and she just 100% just was not herself at all, at all. It was just, yeah, awful. She was falling asleep on me, which she just doesn't really do outside of her nap times and often at all. You know, she's really happy to independently go to sleep. And yet she was falling asleep in my arms in the middle of the day. And then mum came around and she did the same there. And then the temperature then evolved into really runny nappies, really pooey runny nappies. And then she had a horrendous rash that just got kind of worse over a couple of days. So it didn't start too obvious. It was actually my mum that spotted like a couple of spots. Spotted a couple of spots. Wow. So mum initially picked up on it, and I didn't really think too much of it because I thought, oh, they didn't really look like spots. They looked more like scabs. And I just thought, well, Earthy's quite heavy footed and she's probably just like caught herself on something. But then as time went on, you could see quite quickly that there was a rash forming. And yeah, that was a major concern because you put all these things together and you think, what the heck is happening to her? So we'd had her out to the doctor on the first day when she had the temperature and the loose bowels and, you know, just was sleeping loads. And the doctor put it down to a viral infection. And then I think the day later, or a couple of days later, when the rash became quite apparent, I then, because it was a weekend, we rang 111 and we went to the out of hours up at the hospital. And yeah, I mean, he wasn't concerned about the rash. My concern was wondering whether it was like chicken pox or something, and I needed to keep her like isolated. But he was fairly confident that it wasn't chicken pox. So yeah, we just let it run its course, really. Plied her with Calpol and ibuprofen, like on a continuum, you know, like every 4 hours or whatever. And that seemed to do the trick in terms of you know, keeping her generally like well. But it meant that sleep was really hard to come by. And on one of the nights, we had, I would argue, probably our most horrendous night with Ophelia. Probably, I don't know whether I'd say it ever because you kind of forget about those really early days, don't you? But definitely in, you know, since newborn, it was just awful. She was still awake at like 11:30 at night. She'd not slept through the day. She was just a broken girl. And I think we got to the point where she was just so unbelievably overtired that she just couldn't switch off. She just didn't know how to go to sleep. And we tried everything. I took her for a drive. Charles then had her like on him, and just nothing was working. She was pushing us away from her. Oh, it was just awful because it's awful watching it, but then you're trying to be rational, but you've had no sleep and you're so tired because you've had weeks and weeks of really broken sleep. Oh, it was just, yeah, I mean, it was just not great, really not great. And then we eventually got her off to sleep. I said, we, Charles put her in the carrier and just jigged her, jigged her, jigged her. And eventually that worked. But it was just very, I mean, it just didn't last very long. I think pretty much as soon as he got her out of the carrier again and put her down, she was crying again, which meant that unless she was upright in the carrier, she was crying and awake. So as you can imagine, that made for a pretty tough night. But luckily, that was the only night that was quite that intense. But yeah, I mean, it's just been really hard. It's really, really been hard, and it's really tested me. I'd say it's really tested our relationship in the sense of it's quite clear to me, and I think I've said this numerous times before, that if you weren't in a particularly good place with your relationship pre having your baby, then I can only imagine how this exacerbates or can exacerbate those kind of, I don't know, those things in your relationship that aren't solid. Because if Charles and I weren't a team in this situation, oh my gosh, I just don't know how we'd be around each other, because we're both so tired. Our priority is absolutely Ophelia. We have very little time for ourselves, let alone for each other. So yeah, I mean, that has been really challenging, and we're in a good place, you know, like everything's fine, but I just want to kind of continue to acknowledge this absolute, you know, relentlessness of being a parent and also trying to be an employee and also trying to be a daughter and a wife and all of the roles and responsibilities that as a woman particularly you have to somehow juggle. And I think as time is progressing, I'm getting more and more relaxed at kind of accepting that I'm not going to be my best in everything at all times. And all I can continue to do is like share that and tell people where I'm at. And if those people around don't get it, then I would say that that's more about them than it is about me. And I'm becoming more and more unapologetic about how bloody tough this whole thing in being a parent is, and all the other stuff alongside that. And something's got to give. Something has always got to give. And you know, like it's different at different times. Sometimes I know that I'm like absolutely nailing being a parent, and then other times I know that I could probably do better, to be completely honest. So there's many different things at play here. And it's just a constant, constant juggle. So I am continuing to learn more and more about being a mum. But that's the sleep side of things. And yeah, I wanted to start there, not to put like doom and gloom on the situation, because it's definitely not all doom and gloom. Like there is so much good stuff that I'm going to share with you, but that has been like the big, significant, tricky thing to navigate over the past few months. And it would be wrong not to start there because, well, it just would. It'd just be wrong. So, what else is there to share? So, Ophelia's eating has remained really, really good. Although I should point out, when she was poorly, and also at times where it looked like she was teething, although no other teeth have come through, she still only got these kind of two like, partly formed teeth at the front, and that's it. And she's coming up to a year, so God knows when the teeth are going to come through, but I'm preparing myself for more sleepless nights. But let's not dwell. But her food, other than the, you know, like intermittent times, has been amazing. She still continues to eat pretty much anything that's put on her plate. She always comes back from nursery with her book saying, you know, she's eaten all of her food. And I just couldn't ask for a better, you know, I was gonna say better child, but I just hate that crap, because it doesn't make you a better child. But I just mean in the sense of it just helps make things easier. So if it's been a tough day, but she, you know, sits down for her lunch and pretty much eats everything, then that just, don't know, makes me feel like I've had like a tiny win in my day, even if everything else has been pretty tough. So that's been good. As I said, teething wise, we're still at only two teeth. Oh, isn't that just confusing? Like how different children get their teeth all at different times. I absolutely know that that happens because everything about children is different dependent on who they are, because they're all different, like humans. But it is just mad how there's like some children at 4 months who have got like teeth, numerous teeth. And yet, in Ophelia's case, she's turning one and just has two little toothy pegs, and they're not even fully like formed. So yeah, that's where we're at from a teething perspective. And I feel like I need to get her registered at the dentist at some point, but we're just having such problems with it. Like Charles hasn't been taken on at our dentist because they're so booked, but I think everywhere is, because obviously they're dealing with such a significant backlog. So he's having to go private, which is far from ideal. And by the way, it's not that he hasn't had a dentist, it's just that he was in the military and they had their own dentist there. So he's been able to get like the GP sorted, although that took time as well. But yeah, the dentist just isn't so easy. And I'm worried that they're going to push back on taking Ophelia, but I don't know whether like you can be a little bit more, I don't know, persuasive when it's a young child and you as the parent go there, like for convenience purposes, surely like going the same place as mum or dad is like preferable. I don't know. I'll have a conversation with them and see what they say about that. But I think because she has teeth, we have to get registered now. But I think because of all the backlog, I don't know whether the kind of process looks entirely different. So yeah, there's that. What else is there to talk about? I've just seen that the postman's been, and we've got a letter that is addressed to the parent and guardian of Ophelia. I have a feeling that that will be her invitation for her 12-month jabs, which I'm fine about. I mean, I know that people say that these jabs are different because obviously they're older, they know what's like, they're more aware of what's happening, or you know, in that sense. But I just think like it's one of those things that it just needs to be done, and I will give her big hugs and kisses afterwards, and she will be, you know, protected against all of the things that we are so lucky to be protected against. So I'm not too concerned about that. Who knows what the kind of aftermath will be, the side effects of it. We'll just cross that bridge when we come to it. I'm sure whatever side effects come will be nothing compared to what would happen if we didn't have those jabs. And by the way, that's just not even an option for us. We are totally about her getting her vaccines. So yeah, I mean, I'm saying it's the 12-month jab thing, but I don't know for definite whether it is. That is me guessing. She had her, is it 10-month health visitor check? So you fill in a questionnaire. I think you get it sent about the 9-month mark, or we did at least, and you can fill it in any time up to like close to when your appointment is. And I think her appointment was just after she was 10 weeks. I don't think I spoke about this on the last episode, so hopefully this isn't repeating anything. But I waited literally until like a couple of days before, and I'm glad that I did because so much changed. Like when I got the questionnaire originally, or I think there's two questionnaires, when I got them originally, I kind of flipped through them and I was like, oh God, like oh, if he's not doing any of these things, should I be worried? Should I be concerned? And then, as the kind of few weeks passed on, you realize like how quickly they can develop. You know, not always, but in certain circumstances or with certain children, one day they're not able to do, I don't know, pulling themselves up. I think that was one of the things. And then you're like, oh, good. Well, that's a thing now. So, gonna have to push everything back on the coffee table, and the bedside tables are gonna have to be cleared. She did actually manage to find a house plant on our bedside table and pull that over. So that was a nice soily mess that I had to clean up. But I just thought, well, that is very much my bad because I should have known that that was a hazard. As I'm sure many people told me when I have all these lovely things around my home, and then you have a child, and it's like, oh, you might want to move that, or you might want to do this. And you're thinking, no, it'll be absolutely fine. Let me tell you that a lot of the things that you think are going to be absolutely fine when you have your children, you realize that they're not so absolutely fine. Oh, another example of that is the other day in the ensuite, we have like a mini chest of drawers, like a really small chest of drawers, which I mean, we've never even thought about like attaching to the wall. And she almost like so nearly pulled it on top of herself. Luckily, I managed to catch it in time, but it had three cactus plants on top of it, like really mini ones, but nonetheless, cactus plants. Oh my gosh, you should have seen me. I was I can't even think about it, but like where you move your body really quickly, and I was like grabbing all these things. I was like, oh my God, I'm trying to grab cactus, like, or cacti. Is that the plural? Honestly. Brain capacity is minimal. But yes, so I quickly moved that. So it's quite funny because now like our window ledges have really random items on. Like I was pulling up to the house the other day and there was like a little pedal bin on our window ledge, and I was like, yeah, that's because Ophelia's been trying to get in the bin again. So funny, but also just mad. Just absolutely mad. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I think kind of generally everything is grand. Like she is thriving. She is still such a happy little potato. Nursery are really pleased with her. Like sending her to nursery for us has just been so good. I know I go on about this every single time, and I'm sure if you listen to all of these, you'll probably get sick of me here, sick of me saying it. But we just, oh, it really helps in so many ways. It gives me, let me share some of the things that it does. It gives me inspiration for food, because they give her food that I'd have been like, oh, can she have that now? And it encourages me to be a little bit more like, you don't need to be so precious about this kind of stuff. Like an example, just like a really ridiculous example, is like giving her fish fingers. Obviously, I've been giving her fish fingers for a while now, but I was like, do we give her fish fingers now? Is that a thing? And it kind of just like made me be a bit more like relaxed about that kind of stuff and try those things. Not that I was like particularly like blocking those things, I just hadn't considered it, if that makes sense. So then I'd be like, right, well, we can do that. So that's been really good. It helps from a developmental perspective. Her social skills are just great. And this is the next segment that I want to go into, because I always like to do like a part update of Ophelia, but then like a bit of an update of me to help with like other mums out there. And the other thing that it gives in line with that is reprieve. Now, I love Ophelia. That just goes without saying. I shouldn't even need to like stipulate that on this podcast. But, and there is a but, I'm spent sometimes. I'm just at capacity. And I just don't have the bandwidth to 7 days a week entertain her. Like, that's just not possible for me. And also, I've got to work. Like, we've got bills to pay. And Charles's wages wouldn't cover that independently. Mine may do at a stretch if I was working 5 days a week. I'm working 4 days a week, just I'm sure. Again, most people know that who listen to this podcast, but yeah, I mean, just not, no, Like, no. And we're lucky we have mum who helps out one day a week from a childcare perspective, and then maybe once a month we have like an overnight, like Ophelia goes to mum's overnight, so we get a little bit of time to ourselves that we can brand as a date night, although I don't know how much of a date night it is. It's usually a takeaway on the sofa. But at least it's just you two and a bit of breathing space. And I just think if you have that at your disposal, then you should 100% take it. But yeah, I love nursery for that as well, that I just get a bit of breathing space. And yes, I'm either a mum or an employee. Like, that's just reality. But it means that when I finish work at whatever time, I can give myself 10 minutes to just have a cup of tea before I go get Ophelia, for example. And I really try and be like, historically, I would have used the word selfish, but there's absolutely nothing selfish about those decisions. Like, I'm coming to realize more and more in the work that I'm doing around like supporting women's menstrual health. I'm realizing that rest, reprieve, oh, it's just not doing anything and just taking time for you is not only absolutely okay, it's also absolutely necessary. Because as I was speaking about at the start of this podcast, this kind of juggle that predominantly women do every single day of their lives, because it's almost socialized and accepted and the norm, like that's causing women to burn out, and it's causing women to be in a constant state of stress, which just isn't okay for their health. And I just say no to this now. I just think no, this just, I'm just not okay with it. And I'm pushing back and saying I want time for me for no other reason than I want time for me. And I'm not even gonna justify it because I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to. And I am so grateful to have a husband that totally gets it, like probably gets it more than I get it. Like, I know what I need to do, and sometimes I even have like a challenge making that become a reality. And Charles will like hold me to account and question what I'm doing for myself. And next week, well, I'm on annual leave at the moment actually, and I'm cleaning the windows as I've spoken about, but I want to do that because that will make me feel better. But next week, I am booked into a spa and I'm going to have a massage and I'm going to have a facial and I cannot wait. And I'm going to have a glass of Prosecco. And do you know what? I'm going to bask in that and I'm going to sit there and know that, do you know what, Kelly? You have earned that. And for anybody who's listening who needs that, I don't know, encouragement, is that the right word? To take some time for yourself. Like, how are you going to make that happen? And don't, please don't sit there and say that you're too busy, because that's just how, like, life is that way sometimes. Of course you've got numerous things that you need to juggle. Like, of course you do, because you are a mum and you are an employee and you are a wife and you are a daughter or whatever your kind of profile is. But those things aren't going to disappear for the foreseeable. Like, you are all of those things for the foreseeable. So what needs to happen in order for you to take some time for you? Like, at what point do we step back and say, actually, I am calling bullshit on the fact that I don't have time to go and do X, whatever that thing is that makes you happy and allows you to regain some of who you are, over and above all those other profiles and identities that you hold? And if you're sat there and you're absolutely comfortable with how things are for you, then great. Like, I am thrilled for you. You managed to achieve something that I didn't for quite some time. And although I've been always super conscientious about needing independent alone time, because that's just who I am, the type of personality I am, I would sit and be pissed off about it because I wasn't getting it. But yet I wasn't doing anything to make that happen. And now I'm calling myself out and saying it is nobody else's responsibility to raise awareness on me needing this time. I need to call out what I need, and then I need to help facilitate that and make that happen. And yes, I need to inform other people in that because it does impact other people, but it's possible and it's happening now, and I feel so much better for it. So I've taken some annual leave. I've kept Ophelia in nursery. I've kept Ophelia at mum's one day a week, and I haven't changed anything for her because guess what? Her life is great. Like, she loves her routine. She loves doing all the stuff that she does because that's evident in how happy she is every single day. So do I feel guilty? No, I do not. And I'm getting some time to do the stuff that I've been wanting to do for a while. Yes, clean the windows and whatever else ends up being on my list. You know, just allowing myself time. Like, I was thinking, what I might do this afternoon is I might go and get a coffee. I won't get a coffee because it'd be after midday. And anyone who knows me knows that coffee after midday is just not in the script. So maybe a decaf. And I'm going to go and, I don't know, listen to a podcast or do some work on my business because that makes me really happy. And why not? Like, why not do that? That's exciting. So, yeah, I am trying to make the most of this time off. And then Charles is off next week as well. So we've both got a few days together. We are going to make a bit of a list in terms of things that we want to get done around the house. We want to finish the utility room. We've been doing a bit of a kind of revamp jobby in there, which looks good. And then we want to paint the bedroom. Ophelia's room still needs sorting. I'm still not totally clear on what I think we should do in there. So I've put it on my list of things to do this week to try and just get a bit of inspiration as to what I want to do with Earthy's room. But yeah, so I feel like I went into rant mode. And I apologize if you just hit skip and decided not to listen to that. But conclusively, I think I'm just saying, like, check yourself and work out what needs to be true for you in order to feel that you are keeping yourself well from a physical and mental perspective. And if those things aren't happening for you, or you feel that you're not getting everything that you want, like, are you talking about it? Are you speaking to the people that can help you make those changes? And if you're not, then I put it to you that that might be where you need to start. So, is there anything else that would be of interest to share? Oh, just a couple of like practical things, like purchases and things like that, now that we're a year in. So, if you are just leaning into motherhood, or you're maybe, you know, going in for round two, and you're like, oh, I can't remember what I need. Oh, sorry, that's not a pleasant noise. One of the things that has just always and still remains like one of our top used things is like one of those little bumper seats. I think it's Mama and Papa's that we have. And it just still now is like a game changer. Like, on a morning, this morning, when I'm trying to feed the cats and do her morning bottle and make myself a coffee, like, I just can't leave her because she'd crawl and she picks up the cat food and tries to put it in her mouth. Oh, just, yeah. So it's just amazing for plonking her in that even now. And like earlier days, and to be fair, still a little bit now, although she gets a bit agitated, like making tea and putting her on the counter so that she can see what I'm doing and she can enjoy all the smells and the sizzling noises of the pan instead of like leaving her on the floor and not in feeling like I'm not including her in what I'm doing. Like, it's just been awesome for that. So definitely put that on your like purchase list if you're in the stages of needing to get some things. We also, pram wise, have we still got our Nuna that we got from birth. Although, I mean, did she ever use the bassinet? Did she? Heck as like. So, if your child is like Ophelia, it might be that you don't use that part of the pram. But we have now gotten a Yo-Yo Zen 2, is that what it's called? Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you, there was a time where I wondered if we were going to have to get a bigger car. And yeah, the Yo-Yo has just been a game changer. I would say that it's about a quarter of the boot space than what I was using with the Nuna. So just worth bearing in mind if you are looking for a different pram as they get a little bit older. And it's just so handy for carrying around because it just folds up, as I say, into like this tiny little thing. And you can put it's got like a shoulder strap and it's really, really light and really convenient. So definitely have a look at that. What else? Oh, a bit of an aside. Swimming has been the best thing that we have done as well. Oh, I say best thing, like obviously nursery is up there as like top, but we have loved taking her to swimming. We've been doing the program with water babies, and yes, don't get me wrong, it's definitely an investment, but it's the only kind of baby group or baby, lesson thing that we send Ophelia to. So it really feels like if that's the one thing that we commit to doing every week, and that's the one consistent, and she's learning like life-saving skills. Like, of course, she's really young at the moment and she can't swim, but they teach like disciplines and principles of if you go into the water, you don't need to be afraid of being under the water. But when you come back up, you need to look for the side because that's where you're going to be safe. And it's just, yeah, I wouldn't have had a clue where to start if I was teaching Ophelia to swim. So it's been great from that perspective. And highly recommend that as well. What else? We're on the hunt for a new car seat. She's, I think, pretty much outgrown the one that came with the pram. So we need to go into the market. And Charles and I have said that we're gonna like invest in a car seat that's gonna take her through to like however old, like as old as we can get it. And we're not gonna scrimp on her car seat. We're gonna get like the best one that we can find. So I will let you know which one we end up picking. Is there anything else? Don't think so. We've got her birthday party on Saturday this week, and I'm just praying that we get a little bit of sunshine. It's really not looking likely. It looks like it's forecast like really torrential rain. So yeah, I mean we've got a gazebo, although we've never put it up before. And when I say we, Charles has never put it up before, so I'm not sure how that's gonna go. But we've got a biggish kitchen, diner, front room, and we're allowed people in. Are we allowed people inside now? Am I saying something that's not true? I think we're allowed people inside now. So yeah, we'll just make it work. I think that's pretty much all there is to share at this stage. Everything is, other than the sleep, which I'm hoping is coming back, going fairly well. And I'm quickly learning that as you navigate through one phase, you swiftly head into another. So I just try and take each day as it comes. Like, literally, as I'm recording this, I got a notification from Wonder Weeks, even though I'm pretty sure I deleted the app. But I think all of the leaps went into my calendar. And I've just had a notification to say that she's entering leap 8. And you just think, I just don't need to know that. Like, I don't need to know that right now because whatever we've been going through for the past however many weeks feels like it's been one continuous massive giant leap. And if we're about to go into another one, I ain't gonna notice it because it's been pretty tough. So I'm just learning every day to try and take things a step at a time and try and recognize that what's true on this day isn't going to be the case in a couple of weeks' time. Like something significant is going to like happen. And that's okay. It shows that she's developing. She's definitely got an opinion. She's definitely cheeky. She definitely pushes the boundaries. But it's like mum says to me, like, this is you. Like, I'm looking down and looking at Ophelia and I see you, because she's really vocal and mischievous in her like ways. And mum was like, this is exactly how you were. And it now explains why mum used to be in all the video recordings holding a glass of wine. Oh dear. I feel like if I'm not careful, I could definitely turn into that mum as well. It also probably explains why she's like teetotal now and has been for many, many years. She probably saw me to kind of like grow up and was like, okay, don't need the alcohol anymore. I can survive without it. But yeah, I mean, there are some days it gets to the end of the day and I do just want a glass of wine, but I really try and question like, what is the wine concealing? Like, do I just need to have a conversation with Charles because I'm feeling pretty crap or whatever? So yeah, I'm not preaching, by the way. Like, you do you, you do you. And yeah, I think the only other thing to say is, as you know, I'm still working 4 days a week. I'm in the process of running a very early like doors business, which is going well. I'm getting traction. It's just hard to do the networking side of things, but it's fun because like this morning I've seen a couple of emails come through that I'm looking forward to replying to. And that's why I think later on I might just pack my laptop into my backpack and just go and, you know, grab a decaf coffee or a smoothie somewhere and just have a bit of me time. So and be absolutely relaxed about having me time, because it is necessary and it is okay. So I hope that you enjoyed listening to that episode. I hope that some of it resonates with you. And if you're not at this stage yet, if you head into it, let this be some reassurance to you. And I hope that you're doing okay, mamas, because you are awesome. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You are always doing your best, no matter what that looks like. I always say, if your baby is being fed and they have a clean nappy and they're warm, like, you're nailing it. You're bossing it. And if that's all you can manage today, you've done good. You've done good. So just keep going. And remember, there's always, always somebody to talk to. Don't suffer in silence, because that just doesn't fix anything. It just masks over a problem that is still going to be there. So please, please learn from somebody who has been on that journey and can tell you talking really does help. So I will speak to you all again soon. I'm not going to commit to when that'll be, but I will at some point be back on here sharing our journey and giving you some insights to what's happening in the Beaumont household. Until then, look after yourselves and have a good summer. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Learning to Mum podcast. I hope you found it somewhat insightful, or it gave you a little bit of insight into the reality of being a mum. You might be able to hear Ophelia in the background saying goodbye too. If you want to hit subscribe, that would be really appreciated, and it'll mean that as new episodes are launched, they'll drop straight into your preferred listening. So I'll see you all next week. Have a good one. Bye.